Hi Nick, how's it going?
Hi Martin, very good, thank you, how are you?
Good, not so bad. Recovering from man flu, so
are you?
Can probably hear a bit of a croak in my voice this week.
Yep, I know the feeling.
Yeah, well it was self-inflicted really. It was one of those two nights drinking in a row and knowing that you're going to be affected the next day. So there you go. It was darts night on a Tuesday and then I went to see a band on the Wednesday night. Which is one of those where it was booked 6 months in advance because someone said, I had the bright idea, let's go and see the Levellers on this date or whatever. I was like, yeah, fine, whatever, it's December, forget about it.
Yeah.
And then the week of the actual gig, I got a text from my mate saying, aren't we supposed to be going to see the Levellers this week? It's like, oh, shit. So anyway, yeah, but then I knew on the Thursday it would be a struggle and I picked up man flu. So there you go.
Well, it seems to me that I'm getting colds and man flu more often.
Yeah.
It seemed to take a bigger... have a bigger effect on me.
Yeah.
And before I used to have colds and seem to be able to carry on, but these days it's like, it seems to knock me for six. Is that part of getting older, do you think?
I think it is, definitely, yeah. I get more colds now. I never used to get ill at all. Yeah. But now, at least every year, I get a cold. But it wasn't too bad. It's just a bit croaky and a bit...
It's part of having kids and more germs being around.
That is it, actually, yeah. Since Lois was born, it coincides neatly with how often I get colds. So, yeah. But, yeah, I feel all right. Just a bit croaky, that's all.
Cool. It sounds like you've had a lot on your plate as well the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, it's kind of predictable, really. I got the new sort of freelance work on, and just everything else has been piling up. So, it's pretty busy at the moment. I've got a freelance job on, and then that support contract that I mentioned previously. So I'm doing the handover for that whilst carrying on doing the support work for it, and trying to get the whole kids club admin thing out there. It's all, yeah, it's quite a bit, and we'll talk about that later probably as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, quite a bit of work on, so it's a bit difficult, and Christmas doesn't really help. Much as I like Christmas, it just adds an additional layer of hassle that you've got to deal with.
Yeah, most people are slowing down as they lead up to Christmas, but it seems to be taking more on.
It always seems to happen to me that every Christmas I always seem to get suddenly busy, but there you go, you've got to deal with it.
Yeah,
what have you been up to?
After we recorded the podcast on the Sunday, I think it was either jet lag or man flu again, or Dubai flu as we were calling it around the house. Just see it hit me for six, really it did. I was so tired, like it took, so from Monday up until the Thursday, I didn't really do anything. I was just,
wow.
It was literally like get up 2 hours awake and I'd be so shattered I'd have to go back to bed again for another hour, get
Blimey.
Up for another couple of hours and go back to bed for an hour. I don't know what it was almost like a... Yeah.
Strange.
But then all of a sudden, like, I woke up on Thursday morning, and it was just like my head was clear and felt great again. So
that's good.
It was odd. So I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
So there was four of us that went, or five that went to Dubai, and I thought, oh, it must just be me. I've got man flu, struggling along, blah, 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 blah. But then I think one of us sent a message to the WhatsApp group that we're part of all four of us went going, who else is struggling since we got back then? And it seems like all four of us, I guess because we were looking forward to that trip so much for like half the year. Now that it's been done and, you know, we had such a great time over there and to come back to such grey and cold weather, I think it was a bit of a shock for all
that
of us.
That happens,
really.
Doesn't it? I think I get that as well. So I went to Alicante earlier in the year on my mate's 40th birthday, and it was really gentle. You know, we did drink and stuff, but not badly. But we had such a good time, and then the following week was like a real downer because it's like back to the normal drudgery. I think that's part of it, definitely. Yeah.
So it's been that week was a write-off almost, I guess, because Thursday, Friday was just catching up with bits and pieces. So, and this week been looking at new stuff once again. So,
how's it going? What have you been up to?
Well, I kind of had a few moments of clarity. I don't know whether it was clarity or clouded judgment or whatever, but I was sat there kind of thinking at some point, why am I looking at doing this WordPress stroke, SEO stroke marketing type stuff? And it was really to keep the Vatico's Pro people busy as we're trying to sort that site out, what have you. I was kind of thinking, I'm always thinking of other people, We have been since Vatico's Pro got under penalty, really. You know, any other type of business would probably have laid people off quicker, whereas we've kept people on longer than we should have done and so on. And so I was kind of thinking, well, if there were no ties and I was simply starting again from scratch, would I be looking at doing this WordPress email marketing stuff for other people? And the answer is probably not.
Right.
like where I got to with SharePoint and Lightning Tools, once I'd spent 5 years on SharePoint, I kind of got to that point where I couldn't even bear to look at the word SharePoint anymore. And so the thought of doing more SEO stuff for other people, you know, it would have been all right for 6 months, but I'm kind of looking for a project or an area that I'm going to spend the next 5 years on, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Sophie said this, and I kind of been thinking this myself without saying it, but I do seem to have a span of 3 to 5 years where something interests me, and then all of a sudden I have to be like, I've done this, need something else, need another challenge.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm back to the stage where I started the year at. perhaps looking for the next thing to do, next thing to spend the next 5 years on. And because there perhaps is no ties in terms of what I've done previously, I've been looking at the R programming language and big data and data science thing. Mm. Just spending this week on a few free, well, some YouTube video courses, and there's a learning portal thing I signed up that's got some on.
Mm.
And it's been good. It's been interesting for a couple of reasons. The first one really is it's something that I've not looked at before. I guess I've been interested in the analytics and data side of things.
Yeah.
And that does loosely tie into the SEO side of things, actually, of, you know, looking through Google Analytics and trying to spot trends and where you can make fixes and so on. But where I've tried to learn new programming languages before, such as perhaps Ruby on Rails or PHP, I've always become frustrated because I've known how to build, say, a custom login system in ASP.NET, and trying to learn it again in PHP is just like,
yeah,
I know how to do this in something else. Why am I going through this pain of learning a new language and framework and so on? But with R, it's completely different. It's only a programming language around the data analysis side of things.
Right.
So I'm kind of learning new stuff. I'm not relearning how to do the same things but in another programming language, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed it from that aspect. Whether there's a career or any work or anything after that, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's a hot new thing, isn't it? Data analytics and data science and all that sort of stuff.
And there was an interesting thing on Hacker News, actually. So you know Y Combinator, which is the angel VC fund or whatever in the US that invests in startups. Well, there is a recruiting company that does lots of recruiting, apparently, for the companies that Y Combinator backs.
Oh, okay.
And so there was they've done a study or something of the people who they represent, the staff that they're trying to place and the people they're recruiting for, I guess, the companies. And I don't know if you've been on Coursera or one of the other.
I have, not regularly, things. But I've
so there's one that I can't remember the name. It's not Coursera, it's another one. But anyway, it's got a quite well-known machine learning course on it.
Okay.
And I think, like, everyone who's pretty much done some kind of programming, like a large batch of people have done that course.
Right.
And so everyone on their CV has got machine learning down as an interest and a skill, because everyone thinks it's the new big thing, don't they? But this company that did this study of the recruitment process have said that having machine learning on your CV for Y Combinator-backed companies is actually a negative signal. And so people are actually discounting CVs with that on. Wow. So you need to be careful in theory. And, well, there's 2 points, you know. Is it a big buzzword that, you know, there aren't so many positions or, you know, interests out there for? Or, you know, if you are writing up your CV and stuff, you've got to be careful about putting buzzwords on, because it may actually have a negative connotation, I guess.
It's interesting, because when I would search on Upwork even, which is a bit different, but I tend to find if people have got too many things put down or just like the latest hotness, I kind of ignore it or discount them a bit, because it just seems like, well, why, you know, how can you have that on there necessarily? Or some, what I found a lot was you'd see somebody having some sort of skill that you're looking for. Like Laravel, when I was looking for PHP Laravel developers, a lot of them will have Laravel written in there in their keywords of skills. And then you'll scan through their previous history and not any of it mentions Laravel. So they've probably done a course on it and they probably do it as a hobby. But, you know, how can you guarantee unless they've got experience working on a job? So I think that you've got to be careful about that,
because
it does tend to discount against you.
The other thing interesting for us too, anyway, people who had C# or Java or enterprise software, their CVs got chucked in the bin straight away.
Really?
I mean, this is by Y Combinator back company, so they're all into their open source Ruby on Rails and Laravel, like you say, and stuff, I guess, but
that's funny.
Yeah.
On the scrap heap already.
Nothing wrong with enterprise software, though. It pays well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think that was someone else's comment. I'll try and dig out a link to the to that there, so you can send people too.
So this ties in with your sort of flip-flopping between side projects that you're working on, trying to find your niche for the future.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I suppose the only difference is that you've now kind of decided to can the idea of the consultancy for now.
Well, not necessarily, because that may be where the analysis side of things comes I guess, because I've been thinking, really, you know, you see adverts on TV, don't you, for IBM and their big data that they can help big companies with and so on and so forth. But is, you know, smaller companies, even like VatraCodes Pro, you know, they're collecting data, whether it's sales data or visitor data, you know, a machine learning or big data type solution, whether there are opportunities for, well, I'm sure there are opportunities, but discovering what they are for smaller and medium-sized businesses to make use of these new
things,
bits and pieces.
It's interesting because a lot of the time I read articles and things or read people talking about big data and get people coming in and saying, well, that's not really big data, it's just programming and using statistics and stuff. Yeah. So it's funny, big data just labelled as this thing out there these days. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you get on and what you get up to.
We shall see.
That's cool.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about the additional work I've got on and everything, and I've been having a bit of a feeling. There's a bit of a theme going on at the moment. I don't know if it's just sticking out to me or whether it's actually something that people are talking about at the moment, but Zen Founder Podcast had an article about them being overwhelmed. And I've been feeling overwhelmed recently. I only really realised it sort of at the weekend, and actually probably listening to their podcast, the sort of things they were saying made me, I found very familiar. Not quite in so much as that it's in across my life, of personal life and work life, but mainly through work. So I've kind of gone from a point where I had nothing on apart from working on the Kids Club software, which was great, and the support stuff, you know, the general freelance support stuff that I'd been doing, which wasn't a lot of work, to finding out that the support contractor was no longer going to be there from February. So starting to think, right, well, come the new year, I'm going to have to start thinking about getting some paid freelance work. And then having, I think I had 3 or 4 freelance jobs come my way over the past few weeks. And I've got 2 of them which I'm going to be doing. And all of a sudden, I've got, it's kind of like, I can't not take the jobs because I need to get the money in, basically. Yeah. And if it comes in now rather than January, February next year, then that's fine. You know, it's not a problem. But all of a sudden, I'm in a bit of an oh shit moment where I've got the project for customer number 2 for the Kids Club stuff is overdue, basically. And they've been very patient with me. And just as a refresher on that, it's kind of, they're customer number 2 for the product, the Kids Club software product. But we're also doing their website as well, because the two things integrate and they wanted to have an updated website which is responsive and all that sort of stuff. So I said I'd take on both, which is probably a foolish thing to do, but at the time it feels like the right thing to do because you think we've got them in the bag, sort of thing, you know, so that if I do everything then there's no chance of them going elsewhere. So it's all been going well, but slowly, because, well, mainly the website isn't the problem, but the main thing is the integration with the software and getting the software to do everything they need. And it's been going well, like I say, but slowly. I've had trouble with developers, you know, talked about it on here before. And I had a meeting with them this week where it was basically a case of they really need to get moving with it, which is fair enough, I'm late. And so I was trying to push them towards sort of end of January sort of deadline, and they wanted it sooner, and so we had one of those standoff moments where it was very good-natured. You know, there's no nastiness, but it was kind of an awkward moment of silence where we were completely different directions on it. So we came up with a bit of a compromise, and next week we're going to start testing next week with them. So they've got some staff that haven't got a lot on at the moment with the run-up to Christmas, and so they really want to push them to test it. So we're going to do that next week, which is fine, but the reason I didn't want to give them the system yet is because it is full of bugs, and we're still working through a lot of stuff. But we agreed that they'd accept that fact. So I don't want to give it to them and then lose confidence in the system because it's buggy. But they accepted the fact that if it's buggy, that's fine, because they just want to get these guys working on something, and if they're doing that, then that's at least a start. I'm nervous about that, because even if they've said that's fine, they might not think that's fine once they start to see it. But we'll deal with that when it comes. But so I've gone, you know, so I've had, up until that meeting, which was on Wednesday, I had a really stressful time trying to get everything together so I could do a decent demo for them and show them where we are and get all the functionality that they needed working. So it was, you know, I mean, I think on the Tuesday night I was working till like 5:30 and I got up at 5 in the morning to try and do it. And that's on top of everything else. And I also had on the Tuesday an all-day workshop about one of the freelancing projects, which knocked everything out as well. And so I just realised that I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. You can't see the wood for the trees, you know, I can't see the end of this. And I know that I want to do this product, but at the moment it just seems everything's rubbing me the wrong way with it because it's not working. So I think I've been feeling a bit overwhelmed. And I've joined this mastermind group as well now, and we had a chat on Monday night and I was in the hot seat. So I kind of explained all this. And it's reinforced with me the usefulness of a mastermind group, because they was telling me things, they were saying to me things that I knew. You know, like, we'll just concentrate on the critical stuff. Because part of it is, it's not just the work that you have to do, it's the work that you're not doing that you know you have to do. So what I really want to be doing now is marketing the Kids Club software and getting people in to at least talk to them and find out what they want and find out how much interest there is. Because at the end of the day, two customers aren't going to make this thing a go. I need a lot more than that. And so because I'm not able to do that because of the lack of time, I need to do the actual work to get customer number two in, as well as do the work that's going to pay my bills. It's just been an additional stress item, you know, nagging away at the back of your head. And so these guys in the mastermind group were kind of saying, look, you can't, you're in a place where you need to plan it out. So you need to just focus on the critical stuff and forget about the rest. So just hearing somebody else say that, I think, almost gives you permission to forget about it for now and stop kicking yourself, you know. So that's gone on the back burner, the marketing side of things. And I need to, I've realised that I'm actually really bad at planning. So I used to be, when I was a full-timer, I used to manage a team of developers, you know, and so managing other people as well as myself. And it was all hunky-dory. But having been freelancing for nearly 11 years and just having to look after myself, now I've got like about, so I've got between 3 and 4 people doing stuff, designers or developers, and I'm having to manage their time. And one of the big stresses is having to make sure that I've planned out the tasks for these developers in addition to me diving in and doing the work I want to do. And I've realized I'm not very good at it, so I need to get better at that. And one of the things that the guys were saying in the mastermind was I need to look at exactly what I need and then plan it out in a kind of a roadmap. So whether it's not detailed, just map out exactly what I want to achieve when.
Yeah.
And then that'll change, but at least I've got something to aim at. So that's all, you know, been helping me, and I think that's good tips. I still feel a bit of overwhelm, but it's not as bad anymore as it was.
I think, from what the last thing you said, really, in the version of Mastermind, is probably one of the key things of the part feeling of feeling overwhelmed is trying to keep it all in, or keeping it all in your head, isn't it? So it's not just a task of getting stuff done, but it's a task of remembering what to actually get done.
Yeah.
So at least if you get it all down on paper, that'll leave that part of the mind free to, you know, actually think through the task of getting things done rather than trying to remember what to do.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, so part of it is that I knew everything that they were saying. I knew that's the right, I've heard other people talk about it on podcasts, I've read about it in articles. You know, one of the things that somebody said was, why don't you just turn your email off for most of the day and just have it on for an hour at lunchtime or something and do everything in email then? And I'm like, I know that, you know, I know that's a good tactic. And I know that before then I'd been getting distracted with email, but I just never did it until you hear somebody saying it back to you. And so now I've started to do that, turn off my email, probably not that much, but a couple of hours in the morning, a couple of hours in the afternoon, just turn it off. So it's all those little things that add up and help out. But you get into this, I mean, I do anyway, I get into this cycle of I know that I've not got anything planned out and I need to get it planned out so that I can stop stressing about it and know what's happening when. But I haven't got the time to plan it out, I need to do this. And so, you know, it's going to take me half a day to plan it out properly, work out all the things I need to do. I haven't got half a day, I've got to do this. And so you end up in this loop of continually thinking, I need to plan this out, yeah. I haven't got time to plan it out. I need to plan this out, I haven't got time to plan it out. And so you're just on the treadmill forever and you need to try and break that somehow. So ironically, this customer number two wanting to start testing on Monday has meant that I've had to sit down and plan out what we need to get done by Monday. So it's a small, you know, it's just a few days, but at least it's a start of that plan. And then from Monday onwards, I can then start to think about the rest of the plan. I won't have any time to sit down, literally, between now and Monday. But after Monday, I'll be able to to look at what's happening from there. So it's kind of good in a way.
Yeah. When I get to that kind of feeling, I always try to revert back to what I know works, which is like you say, isn't it? When other people say it to you, you kind of know these things.
Yeah.
But it's just a fact of being reminded. And so when I have that feeling of being overwhelmed, I go back to what I took from getting things done.
Right.
Which is that thing of getting everything out on paper. So I'd literally go through and list every single project that I've got on my mind, and perhaps sometimes even projects that I've had just as ideas, just so again it's on a bit of paper, so it doesn't have to, I don't have to spend any brain cycles thinking about it. And then for every single project, go through and, like you say, plan it out or list the tasks that I know I need to get done for that project. And it might not be something that I know I want to get done within a week or two, but it might be something in 3 months' time. But again, just having that task down on a bit of paper doesn't mean you're lying in bed at night thinking over or trying to remind yourself of what tasks you need to get done and stuff.
Yeah, you're dead right, yeah.
So that certainly says a lot for planning. And then so once I've got that of all of the shit listed out and my brain is free to think, I'll go back to, which I think I've said on the podcast again, using the Pomodoro technique again.
Yeah.
Of just picking the next thing to work on the most important project and work on it for 20 minutes, take a little break, work on it for another 20 minutes.
Yeah, I might give that a go again. I've struggled with that, the whole Pomodoro thing. I've never really got to go to it. I think that the thing I struggle with it is not being able to get one task done in the 20 minutes, you know, and then having to spread it over different 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I that always grates on me a bit, but I should give it another go, I think.
I think you're like my friend Mark as well that I was playing golf with yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And he works for one of the biggest companies. If I said the name, you'd know they are. And I'll say it to you offline, but I won't say now because I don't want to get him in any trouble or something. But he's like you, where he'll say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Where they're on a conference call or something, and like, who's done this project initiation document? And it's all quiet. And like, who wants to do it? And everyone else stays quiet.
Yeah.
And then Mark feels compelled to pipe up and say, oh, I'll do it. And then he's complaining about how much work he's got to do and how he said yes to these extra bits and pieces that he said.
That's really true, actually. Yeah.
And he said, what he was saying yesterday was about how he's working from 8 in the morning till 10 at night and he's got so much to do. Mm. And I'm like, well, just turn your computer off at 5, you know, what's the worst? First of all, stop saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
Let some other people take stuff on. But, you know, just turn your computer off at 5. What's the worst that's going to happen? Yeah. Even if you said to these guys that it can, you know, be ready next week, say it's not. What's the worst that can happen? They've not paid you any money yet, have they?
So yes, they have, actually.
It's not £20,000 or something like that you'll have to repay.
Nothing's going to go wrong. No. It would just be a case of they might be a bit pissed off for a while.
Yeah.
So it's
from what we spoke about, perhaps offline, they're getting a frigging great deal out of all the work you're doing anyway.
So when they get the finished system, they're going to get a very good deal. So you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think that is my problem, is I say yes to too many things because I am like that. If I can see a project, like the FSB is a great example.
We spoke about that last time.
I dove myself far too deep into that and got far too much time taken up by it because you sit around at a committee meeting and you have these great ideas that you want to get done. And it's like, well, who's going to do it? And no one's going to do it. Nobody volunteers. And so you think, well, if we don't do it, we're not going to move forward. We might as well just come up, have a cup of coffee and a sandwich and go home and nothing ever happens. So I always say, well, I'll do it then. You know, I'll pick that bit up. Just because I don't want to lose the momentum in anything. And it's the same with work, you know. I mean, I do take on too much, so I need to start saying no to some things.
It's hard. But as well, you know, well, there's two things you can do, right? Well, the first thing, as I say, this is part of the fun of it, right? Of managing all the stress and things like that, and bootstrapping a company, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the path you've chosen, so you've got to kind of accept it now.
It's funny, I was thinking about that on the way up here today, actually. I was kind of thinking that, you know, you always hear people talking about how stressful it is. So the successful people that you see giving talks and things and you watch their videos and they're saying, look, it is hard. There's no way around it. It is hard, you know. Now, you can see people's stories and it looks like you've got this sort of graph going up and to the right and you know, or maybe a bit more bubbly than that, but still going up and to the right in some direction. And they say, but it was hard, you know, don't underestimate it's hard. And you hear that, but it just kind of, that bit washes over you and you just think, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to follow that path.
Yeah.
But actually now I'm finding it is bloody hard to try and not give up. And I think this is perhaps the reason I've given up on so many projects over the last 10 years is because A, I hadn't had a customer to keep me going. And because having that meeting with the customer on Wednesday, showing them what we had got and walking them through it, and they were like, God, this is amazing. They're going to love this. You know, the admin people are going to love this, and this person's going to love this, and this is fun. So hearing that is amazing, and having them there to sort of almost hold you accountable is also amazing. So in the past, my projects have failed. They may have been good ideas. They may have got off the ground, but I didn't have anyone there to say, I can't wait to start using this, or, you know, that's really good, or that's crap, and you need to change that. It was just me, because I'd done it the wrong way. And now having these customers, I can recommend it in terms of keeping you on track, because I'm positive I would have given up on this project by now otherwise. But equally, it does add that extra level of stress, because you have got somebody that you're responsible to, effectively. So, so I think it's just a natural part of the startup to, you know, something that works process. It's just quite hard.
And so the second thing I was going to say, what about getting a co-founder?
Yeah, that's...
First of all, to bounce these issues off, perhaps you're doing that with the mastermind already, but, you know, either someone who's technically minded who can help you with the technical stuff, or someone who's completely different in terms of from a marketing background, you can perhaps get on with that marketing stuff while... you're doing that. I know you've always been really anti about...
I am, and it's...
I guess, again, if you... If that is the case that you do want to do it all yourself, then you just have to accept that
you have to suck it up and get on
hard. Or harder. Maybe.
Well, I do think that is, it's perhaps a flaw that I have, in that I don't want to have a co-founder. I want to do it myself, and I don't know whether that's just an ego thing or whatever, but I would like to get to the end of it, especially now that I've put so much into it, get to the end of it and have something there where I can say that's me, you know. I don't know why that is. Perhaps I need to think about that a bit more, about whether I'm just being stupid on that. But the other side of the coin on it is that, although I think this could be a success in inverted commas, it's never going to be a multi-million pound company, I don't think.
You never know. I don't know.
You never know, but I can't see that. I can see this as a product that would make enough money for me to stop doing freelancing, and maybe more than that, and be quite a nice little earner. But I think I wouldn't want a co-founder at the moment until I've established that, because if I had a co-founder and this is only ever going to make me £2,000 a month, then with a co-founder it's £1,000 a month each, therefore it's hardly worth bothering with unless you can
grow it out quicker.
I'm not sure you would. I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Anyway, it's just...
it's a good idea, so, yeah. I need to think about it.
Say yes
more.
Or no now.
the whole overwhelm thing, and I think... I can't remember what I was talking about now, but I said customers is a good thing to have at the start of it. Yes. So in a couple of weeks, in theory, they should be testing it, and we'll have a reasonable
idea. How's customer
idea
number one getting on with the product? Are they happy with it?
Well... Yeah, they are happy with it. So they've paid 2 months' worth now without any objections. And so they're going to be getting ready to... So their club is a holiday club, so it's only run in the half terms, and they don't run it during Christmas. So the next time is not until February that they're going to be really seriously using it. So come the new year, they'll start to ramp up again. And then once they've got two under their belt, they'll probably be using it more regularly, because they'll have reports in there and stuff that they'll be referring to.
Yep.
But at the moment, it's fairly quiet from their point of view. So you know, come the new year, I could have two customers and it could be going swimmingly, and then I can start to focus on other things.
Yeah.
Although I think that's probably wishful thinking. I think I'll probably still be flat out trying to get it sorted. But yeah, it's good. Overall, it's good, I think.
Of course it is.
So, you got anything else? What other plans have you got for next week? So, you just carry on working on R?
Yeah, I think so. I had a phone call actually with Kevin Taylor just as you were walking up to the garden shed. So, the last time I did say on the podcast, you know, if there's anybody who's out there looking for help around SEO and email marketing stuff, to get in contact. And Kevin, who we know from the Southwest Bootstrap meetup thing.
Yeah, although he doesn't live that way, does he?
No, he lives up in Nottingham, actually. So. Yeah. But he got in contact via Twitter saying he's looking for some assistance around SEO and stuff for his steel beam calculator app stroke site that he's got. So just had a call with him earlier on, actually.
Yeah.
Gave him some ideas about what to do.
Excellent.
So
Oh, I hope that works out. Yeah.
Well, I said I'd do that as a favour for him, really, because actually the works. It's just giving some come up with some ideas about how we can get some links onto his site as quick wins.
Yeah.
Rather than going down the whole content marketing thing of him kind of telling his story around bootstrapping and being a non-technical founder.
He's got a really good story, I think, as well. You know, really good story.
He said we'd get him on the podcast and interview him.
Yes, that would be interesting for everybody, I think, yeah.
He can write up case studies about the tools he's been using to help grow his business and stuff, and they'll probably publish those on their websites and stuff. So,
fantastic. Yeah. That sounds good.
That's it for me, I think.
Yeah, and for me, I've not really got any stuff or anything.
Not done much.
Do you know what? The worst thing is, I haven't been for a run for 2 weeks.
Have you not? Well, you're poorly as well, weren't you?
I've been a bit poorly, so that put me off as well. But yeah, I need to get back into that, because this whole part of it as well, sorry, I was going to talk about this earlier, but the overwhelm thing is this whole meditation, and I find running quite meditative, you know, because you just got in that sort of routine of and rhythm. And I really missed it because of that, just being able to clear my head for half an hour on a run. So I really need to get back into that, I think, and that helps a lot. So exercise, definitely.
You can run from here to the bus stop to catch the name if you like.
After that sandwich, I don't think so. Cool. Anyway, I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Nearly be Christmas, won't it, next time?
It
we
will
catch up,
next so time, yes.
It might be a bit early. Well, I guess if we said we're going to record it on like Wednesday or something,
yep,
it'll still be like after Christmas that the show comes out, won't it? Is that right?
Well, Christmas is on the Friday, isn't it? So we could release it on the Monday as usual. So yeah.
Very good. What are you getting me for Christmas?
I'll have to think about that.
I'll get you a little Pomodoro stopwatch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get you the bandage to cover up the bruise. Cool. All right. See you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.